going to ask you to take your Bibles and turn with me to the book of James, chapter 1. James, chapter 1. Let's ask our Lord's blessing this evening. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you for the time that we have to call upon you in the name of Christ Jesus, our Lord. We ask you to have mercy. Lord, teach us this evening. Help us. Help us to worship. And forgive us where we fail you, for Christ's sake. Amen. I'm going to be looking at verse 18, James chapter 1, verse 18. There's a truth that is found throughout God's Word that is the most despised, hated, rejected truth by this world and its false religion. And here's that truth, that doctrine. This is the most despised truth in all of the Scriptures. Salvation is of the Lord. Salvation is of the Lord. Well, I want us to, for a few minutes, just to look at this passage of Scripture and let's see what God has to say concerning this truth. And may we recognize that God is true and every man is a liar. Now here's what God has to say. The Holy Spirit moved upon the Apostle James to pen this verse. Of his own will begat he us with the word of truth, that we should be a kind of first fruits of his creatures. Now, according to the Scriptures, Almighty God has set forth that of his own will. Now, the miracle of this truth is set forth when we understand exactly what was just said. The word own, O-W-N, of his, now here's the meaning of that word, of his private, of his separate will, intent, of his private, separate will and intent. When it comes to salvation, this is what that verse of Scripture right here says. The only one that has a will when it comes to man's salvation is the Lord. That's what that verse just said. Of his individual, private, separate will, God has a will concerning man's salvation, and that is the only will concerning salvation toward men that exists. Man died spiritually in the garden, and therefore he can do nothing because he has no will to do anything that is good before God. The Lord told Moses, Exodus 33:19, I will be gracious to whom I will be gracious. I will individually, I will separately, I alone will show mercy on whom I will show mercy. So what, according to the Scriptures, did God do for hell-deserving sinners concerning his will, his intent his own individual separate desire. What did God do to show mercy to sinners? All right, hold your place there and just look at this very familiar Ephesians chapter 1. I love that passage of scripture. Paul says, for me to say the same things to you is not grievous to me. He said, for you it's safe. It's the Spirit of God solidifies in the minds and hearts of his people by us hearing over and over and over. What did the Lord separately, individually, what did God do concerning his will to show mercy? Ephesians chapter 1, verse 4, it says, he placed all that he purposed to show mercy in Christ before the foundation of the world, the city of refuge. Ephesians 1, 4, according as he hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, for this intent, for this reason, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love. God purposed that his people were going to be justified, holy, without blame before him, in love, in Christ. How was he going to do that? Well, the scripture says that God put them in the city of refuge, in the haven of rest. That's what he did. And I realize that the scriptures are written such in a chronological way, but God eternally purposed all of this. And so when we look at it, we can't say he did this first, then he did this, then, you know. Brother Henry was asked one time, I'm going to ask him, what came first, faith or belief? Faith or belief? He said you can't separate them. When God grants faith, man believes. It's instantaneous. So what did God do? Well, according to the scriptures, he purposed to show mercy by putting his people in the only safe place that they could be in. He put them in his son. And then the scripture declares in verse 5 that he adopted all of his elect in Christ. He adopted them as his children. These are my children. I'm adopting them. The scripture says, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will. And then the scripture declares that he accepted us. He chose us in Christ, adopted us in Christ, and accepted us in the only one in whom he was well pleased, verse 6, to the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he hath made us accepted in the beloved. And then the scripture says, according to his will, he redeemed us by the shedding of the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, and thereby released us from the bondage of sin, verses 7 and 8, in whom, that is in Christ, we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of his grace, wherein he hath abounded toward us in all wisdom and prudence. And then the scripture says, according to his own will and grace, he was pleased to tell us about it. In time, he revealed this truth to the objects of his mercy. Verse 9, having made known unto us the mystery of his will, according to the good pleasure which he hath purposed in himself. Now, God has a will. He's willed to save his people. Chose them, adopted them, accepted them, told them about it. That's what we're doing right now. He's telling us about it, telling us afresh, and solidifying by faith this truth that we understand. And then the last part of this portion of scripture right here, he willed to have all his people with him everlastingly, and to give them the kingdom, to give them all that he's ever prepared. This is what, like in verse 10, that in the dispensation of the fullness of time, he might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven, which are on earth, even in him, in whom also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestinated according to the purpose of him who worketh all things after the counsel of his own will. So the scripture declares back in James chapter 1, verse 18, of his own will, God did something for those that he provided all of these blessings and gifts that we just read about in Ephesians chapter 1. This is what he did. He begat us. He generated us. He produced a new man. Now, here's the first promise, the open manifestation of God's will to show mercy and compassion to his people. This is how you know those that God has everlastingly purposed to show mercy. The Spirit of God births them from above. He creates a new man. They are made to be partakers, the scripture says, of the divine nature. Now this is a miracle of God's grace. Here is a man, a woman, sinners by birth, sinners by choice, sinners by practice. And Almighty God takes that sinner and he creates life, creates a new man, a new creature, created in righteousness, creates a new man, a new birth. There's a new person, a new nature, and it's a holy, a divine nature. It's created in Christ. It's Christ in you, the hope of glory. God himself inhabits his people. Not, they are not divine as God is divine. It's divinely created, is what I meant to say. So here's the promise. Here, God creates a new man, forms a new creature. And according to his will, Almighty God is pleased to do this one way and one way only. This is the only way that Almighty God creates, begats of his own will, his creatures. This is the only way. Verse 18, John chapter James chapter 1, of his own will begat he us with the word of truth. This is it. There's no other way. I can't talk you into it. I have no power, no ability, no verbiage to be able to create such wonderful sounding promises and give. I cannot create life in you. God Almighty alone, by his singular will, creates life in his people. And he does it by the word of truth, by the proclamation of the gospel. That message that gives all glory and honor and praise to the God of all grace. Every time I stand up, I'm listening to what I'm saying. And I'll take these notes, and I've gone over them, and I'll go over them again, and I'll go over them again, and I usually rewrite them two to three times, Lynn Jean. And I'll finish a message, and she'll ask me, she says, "Now, how many times are you going to rewrite that?" And I said, "Well, two or three, something like that." I will go over these notes, and I want to say this exactly the way, as much as in my power, that I want to say it. I want to say it clearly, but I realize that my best efforts of writing down a set of notes means nothing unless God blesses it. I want to preach the gospel. What is that message? It is the message of God Almighty's grace and mercy to helpless, hopeless, impotent sinners in themselves. And that message that gives all the honor, all the glory, all the praise unto God Almighty, and none to the recipients of His grace. It gives God the glory. It's the gospel that praises the God of all grace. This truth exposes all of man-centered, self-willed preaching that declares man to have the last word in salvation. It sets forth the heinous lies of men that are left to themselves to accept or reject the gospel. Salvation is of the Lord. If God is pleased to save a sinner according to His word and His will, that sinner must hear the gospel of God's grace. He must believe. He must believe. Can a sinner be saved without believing? No. No. He that believeth on the Son hath life. He must hear the gospel. He must believe. And Almighty God grants His people faith, and they are willing in the day of God's power, and they do believe. So He, by His own will, begat us with the word of truth, with the gospel of God's free grace. 1 Corinthians 1:17-18. For God sent me not to baptize, but to preach the gospel. Not with wisdom of words. Not trying to embellish, you know. This is what, when we stand, or any man stands in this pulpit to preach, tell us what God has to say. Don't try to improve on what, don't try to make yourself, not with wisdom of words, lest the cross of Christ should be made of none effect. For the preaching of the cross, and I've said before, the preaching of the cross is the declaration of the gospel of God's free grace, that which Almighty God purposed to do before the foundation of the world. Not just the crucifixion. The crucifixion was the epitome of what Almighty God did in the redemption of His people. But Almighty God's will and purpose for all eternity is the preaching of the cross. The preaching of the cross is to them that perish, or the wording is literally, is to them that are perishing, foolishness. The preaching of the gospel is foolishness to those that are perishing. But unto us which are saved, which are being saved, and God's people are being saved right now. He has saved us. He saved us and called us. So eternally, Almighty God will save His people. And what God will is done. He's saving us right now. Right now we're being kept by the power of God. And we shall be saved if we endure to the end. And unless He keeps us, we won't. We're kept by the power of God and salvation. But this message, the preaching of the cross, is to them that are perishing is foolishness. Unto us which are saved is the power of God. Brethren, the preaching of the gospel of God's grace, it's not just another message that God blesses to the calling out of His sheep. It is the only message. There is no other message. There is no other message preached. Men stand up in pulpits every week and they declare that they're preaching an offer to men. It is not the gospel, and God does not bless it to the salvation of men's souls. Men, women are not saved until God saves them under the preaching of the gospel. 2 Thessalonians 2:13-14. I love this passage. You know that. We're bound to give thanks always to God for you, brethren, beloved of the Lord, because God hath from the beginning chosen you to salvation through sanctification of the Spirit and belief of the truth, whereunto He called you by our gospel, to the obtaining of the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. This gospel is the message that must be preached. Turn with me to Mark, and I'll try to wrap this up. Turn with me to the book of Mark, chapter 4. Mark chapter 4. 4, verse 21. The Lord is preaching here, and he said, Mark 4:21. He said unto them, is a candle brought to be put under a bushel or under a bed, and not to be set on a candlestick? Not only do we need to hear the truth of the gospel, but those that have been taught the gospel are to be telling others what the Lord has done for us. Candle is not to be lit and then concealed. It's to be placed on a candlestick for the benefit of others. Therefore, knowing that, we are to be prayerfully seeking God's direction, keep back nothing that would be profitable to the people of God. We do not shun the declaration of the whole counsel of God and the preaching of the gospel. That is the whole counsel of God. Listen to what Peter said in 1 Peter 4:10. This we need to tell people. I do understand. Many times people will, you want to say something to them, and I've often said the best thing you can do for anybody is just tell them, say, look, why don't you come and just sit and listen to the pastor? That's the safest thing you can do. And just invite them to come. Many will tell you, well, I'm not interested. I understand. But listen to Peter. 1 Peter 4:10. And as every man hath received the gift. Now what gift? Well, for by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It's the gift of God. God Almighty gives His people a gift. He gives them Christ. God's salvation. As every man hath received the gift, even so minister the same one to another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. We're ambassadors for Christ. You say, well, I'm not a preacher. You're a human being. You see people, you meet people, you work with people. Ask them to come. Oh, they won't come. How do you know? You came. How do you know that God won't be pleased? I don't know who the Lord is going to show mercy. I don't know who the Lord's sheep are. I don't know who they are. But I do know how He's going to save them. I know what He's going to do in calling them out. We tell them the truth. We invite them to come and pray the Lord blesses it according to His will. We tell them, come here. Come at the woman at the well. What'd she do? The Lord told her all things that ever she did. She went and she told some men, she says, come see this man that told me everything I ever did. Is this not the Christ? And they came. They came. So Mark 4:21. He said unto them, is a candle brought to be put under a bushel or under a bed? Not, for there is nothing hid which shall not be manifested, neither was anything kept secret, but that it should come abroad. And what is he talking about? He said this. God has a people. God's going to save His people. He's going to call them out of darkness. And there's nothing, this candle that's put on a candlestick, and we invite men to come and you know, tell them. And if the Lord's pleased, they come. He gives them a desire to come. I had somebody tell me the other day, they said, I'm coming Easter Sunday. I said, great, great. I've been asking her. I said, won't you come? And she said, well, I'm going to come Easter Sunday. I said, wonderful. We have a meeting. Lord willing, we're going to have two men come preach the gospel to us. Won't you come and listen? So I pray that she does. I hope she does. And now, but here's what the Lord's promised to all that He's everlastingly willed to show mercy. He says in verse 22, there is nothing hid. That is, there's nothing within the secret counsel of Almighty God, the mysteries of God's will and purpose that God is pleased to reveal. There's nothing that will be withheld for the good of those that God has purposed to show mercy. All His sheep are going to hear. This candlestick is put forth. And when His people come and God's pleased to open their eyes and give them light, this is what He's saying. There's nothing that's hidden now from them which shall not be manifested. Think about what the Lord has taught us. I mean, so many here that have sat under the gospel for years and years and years. And you think what we learned, what God has been pleased to teach us through this candlestick that's been set forth. Neither was anything kept secret that it should come abroad. Now here's what He says in verse 23. If any man have ears to hear, let him hear. The candlestick is the gospel. He's promised there's not going to be anything hidden from God's people. God Almighty is going to bless it. And if God gives them ears, if any man by grace have spiritual ears, a right understanding of what the Lord has said, that understanding that He's given, that man is going to hear. He's going to hear in his heart. Then He said in verse 24, and He said unto them, take heed what ye hear. With what measure ye meet, it shall be measured to you, and unto you that hear shall more be given. Now what is He talking about? He said, here's a word of caution. Here's a word of caution to everyone that has ears to hear. Here's the caution. Give diligent attention to whatever you hear. Take heed to what is preached. Take heed. Don't accept something just because I said it. Search the Scriptures and see if these things be so. Search God's Word. Listen to what's said. God's going to manifest His truth. If man has ears to hear, he'll hear. He will hear. Let him hear. But take heed what you hear. With what measure you meet, it shall be measured to you. If the Lord has given us understanding in His Word, we're going to measure some things. We're going to measure, first of all, ourselves and our continual need to be taught. We're going to measure what God has to say about us. And then we're going to realize I'm a frail creature that needs to be taught. I don't know everything. I know in part and prophesy in part. There's some things that God's taught each of us. We know the truth. Salvation is of the Lord. But I'll tell you this, we don't know everything. There's some things that I read, and I just have to be honest with you. I don't know. I don't know. The Lord's not been pleased to reveal everything to all people. But I'll tell you this, we'll measure ourselves. And another thing that we'll measure, we'll measure every time we hear the glory of God in Christ. We'll measure that. Is He getting all the honor, glory, and praise? We ask and we seek and we knock at the door of mercy. And He's promised. He said it'll be revealed. So He said, take heed what you hear. With what measure you meet, it shall be measured to you. And unto you that hear shall more be given. I'll teach you. We'll grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior. For he that hath hearing ears, to him shall be given. And he that hath not, from him shall be taken even that which he hath. To the awakened soul there'll be a growth in grace and the knowledge of our Lord. But to those that have not the knowledge of Christ, those who possess but a speculative notion of the gospel without a working a work of God in their heart, in their soul, their pretended faith, their pretended hope in Christ shall eventually, it may be in the day of judgment, but eventually it's going to be discovered. And even their empty hope will then be taken away from them. Lord, we prophesied. We cast out devils. We've done so many wonderful works in your names. Depart from me, ye workers of iniquity. I never knew you. So the end of God's will and purpose to save his people through the means of the preaching of the gospel comes down to this. This last part back in James. That we should be a kind of first fruits of his creatures. The first fruits were those fruits, those that came of the promise of a full harvest that would come. That open manifestation was that first promise, that this is what the Lord says that we shall be. Here, God calls out his people, and here's the manifestations of God's kindness to hell-deserving sinners. He created man in innocence. Man rebelled on purpose, and God Almighty purposed, according to his will, to save his people, and he's going to do it. He's going to call them. Of his own will begat he us with the word of truth, that we should be kind of first fruits of his creatures. He willed to pay our debt that was owed to his broken law. He willed, by being made flesh, to earn a righteousness. As a man, the God-man, mediator, as a man, Christ earned a righteousness. Almighty looked and said, "This is my beloved Son, whom I'm well pleased." You hear him. That righteousness that Almighty God was well pleased with, his obedience robes every believer now, right now. We stand before God Almighty with no condemnation. I pray that God be pleased to teach us afresh this glorious truth that we love. We love this truth. Salvation is of the Lord. May God bless it to our hearts tonight again, for Christ's sake. Amen.